Let's pray. Father God, teach us to pray. Open up your word to our hearts and minds through the work of your Holy Spirit, and bring us into a closer relationship with you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to start this morning with a bit of a health warning, really. Please don't think that when it comes to prayer, I've got it sussed, or that I'm some kind of model prayer, because I most certainly am not. I find prayer very, very challenging and sometimes very, very difficult. And I know it shouldn't be. But this morning, as I read God's word, and as I read some commentaries, and I prayed and prayed and prayed again about it, God's given me some insights. And I think it's that I've learned a great deal from preparing for this service, but also been challenged by it. And that I need to ask God to transform my prayer life, as well as transforming me. So our topic this morning is, I'm so glad you asked me about prayer. And this morning, I just want to explore some questions. We want to look at, what is prayer? Why do we pray? How do we pray? Is prayer a waste of time? Does God answer prayer? Why is prayer so difficult? And what hinders our prayers? Now, don't panic. This is not going to go on all afternoon. You are going to be home for Sunday lunch. Just want to start off with, what is prayer? And as Peter said earlier, and prayer is about communication. It's the communication between God and humanity. That's our common perception of prayer. Prayer is the way in which we talk to God, whether that's through our worship, through our praise, through our confession, through our thanksgiving or our intercessions. I believe that prayer is natural. I believe that we're born to pray. And I say this because the Bible tells us that we're created in the image of God, that we're created to have fellowship with him. Secondly, all the religions have prayer as a major part of their faith systems. And thirdly, both believers and non-believers pray. If you think back to when you were at school, we were taught those formulaic prayers. Maybe we encourage your children to pray before they go to bed. I remember at school, at primary school, 40 years ago, that we used to say grace. For what we are about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful. Amen. And I wasn't a believer at the time, and I wasn't thankful when I was looking at the gooseberry jelly with the hairy gooseberries staring at me, or the prunes smiling from the plate. I wasn't particularly thankful, but I was taught those prayers. I know that as a young child, I knew the Lord's Prayer. I don't know why I learnt it, but I wanted to learn the Lord's Prayer. And that's way before I believed in Jesus. But also there are those panic prayers, those prayers people pray in a crisis. How many times have you heard of people who do not believe in God facing a life-changing or a life-challenging event and praying for help? And it's important to emphasize here that God also hears the prayers of unbelievers. It may be that he answers those prayers to bring them into a relationship with him. What other testimony is there than answered prayer? So God is about prayer is about communication with God. But I think it's a lot more than that. Prayer, most of all, is about a relationship. That's fundamentally what prayer is. Prayer is about a relationship between God and humanity. The Bible tells us that God's people are his children. And the next slide is something that Peter talked about the other day, and it's something that we really have to be aware of all the time. That actually, this relationship is only possible through Jesus. Jesus forgave our sins so that we could have that relationship with God restored. Billy Graham, in his book, Issues of Life, says of prayer, "Prayer is one of the privileges of being a child of God. It's made possible because Jesus Christ opened up the way to our Father. God loves you, and he wants you to," in quoting Philippians 4 verse 6, "not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your prayers to God." As a slight aside, we often pray in the name of Jesus. But what does that mean? It means that Jesus has given us the authority to pray in his name. People's names in biblical times were so important. They defined who the person was. It told other people about the person. Praying in the name of Jesus is praying in his authority. He's given us that authority to pray in his name. Nicky Gumbel gave a useful illustration about writing a bank check. I can write a check for £1 million and I can sign it, and you can try and present it to the bank. I'm afraid you won't get £1 million out of it. But if someone who owns £1 million wrote a check, they have the authority to pay that amount. When Jesus gives us the authority to pray, he gives us that power, that authority to pray in his name. Throughout the New Testament and the early church, when the disciples prayed, they prayed in the name of Jesus. It wasn't in Paul, it wasn't in Peter's name. When they healed, it was in Jesus' name. He gave them that authority. There are two types of prayer, really. There's the corporate prayer. That's the prayers that we pray on a Sunday as a fellowship or as a church group. If we've got little Bible study groups, we'll often pray. We have corporate prayer, where we're united as a body of believers, where we pray for guidance as a body. Matthew 18 verse 9 says, "I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." That's our corporate prayer. The prayers that we have here each Sunday, our intercessions, our adoration, our thanks, our confession, that's our corporate prayer. But there's another prayer, which is what Jesus was talking about in our reading from Matthew earlier. Personal prayer is different. It's the prayer where Jesus commands us to go into our rooms, to close the door, and pray to our Father who is unseen. Then our Father who sees what is done in secret will reward us. Samuel Chadwick, a Methodist preacher and theologian in the 1920s and 30s, stated that personal prayer is where we stand naked before God. That it's personal, intimate, and original. That coming before the Father in that relationship. So why do we pray? Matthew 6 verse 8 says, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." So why do we need to bother to pray? Because God already knows what we need to pray for. And I said earlier about prayer being about communication. It is, but I think we can focus so much on the communication that we forget that relationship. God knows what we're going to ask him for. But what he wants is that relationship with us. God loves us. He wants us to trust him. He wants that father-child relationship with us. And he wants to give us good things. Like a parent who wants the best for his children. And again, he wants that relationship with each one of us. Why pray? Well, there's a pretty good reason for praying. And that is that Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed regularly. As we read through the Gospels, we know that Jesus prayed regularly to his Father. But also, we read that he prayed at those key moments in his ministry. When he was tempted in the wilderness. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And ultimately, he prayed as he faced death on the cross. Jesus also devoted a large part of his ministry to teaching about prayer. And later, we'll very briefly explore the model prayer that he taught us. We pray because God answers prayer. Although it's not always in the way that we hope for or expect. Again, in his book, Issues of Life, Billy Graham states that with regards to time, God answers prayer in one of three ways. Yes, no, and wait. This morning we had the privilege of witnessing the baptism of Oliver. And those of you who know Tim and Hannah will know that they only want the best things, good things for their sons. God is the perfect parent. God wants to give each one of us good things. We pray for something we believe will be good for us. Maybe I would, Father, give me a new car, or I'd like a new job. But God sees the bigger picture and knows whether those things will be good for us. The thing is, we need to trust in him. We need to have that relationship with him. So we pray because Jesus prayed. We pray because God answers prayer. But we pray because prayer transforms. If we look at the example of Paul in the New Testament, his life was transformed by prayer. As Saul, he heard the dying prayers of Stephen as he was being stoned. And prayer was a key part of Paul's conversion, his commissioning, his baptism, and his missionary work. Prayer can also change God's mind. Moses prayed that the people may be saved from God's wrath. And God saved them. God changed his mind. In Chronicles 2, 7, verse 14, God states, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." So prayer transforms. Another reason why we pray. Prayer is about being in that relationship with God. Prayer is about God changing our lives. But being God's children means that we are in a constant spiritual battle. And as we heard from our first reading this morning, it's a battle between good and evil, or more precisely, it's a battle between God's way and the world's way. When we become Christians, we repent of our sins. And this literally means turning back to God, declaring that we want to trust him, that we want him to take charge of our lives, that we want to live our lives according to his will, to turn our back on the ways of the world that led us away from God in the first place, and to follow God's teaching. The thing is, though, that we remain in the world. We are still surrounded by those things that will tempt us away, those temptations, those challenges. We face a spiritual battle each day. And our first passage this morning is very familiar about wearing the spiritual armour, telling us to put it on to withstand the spiritual attacks of the evil one. And many of us are aware of this famous passage, but how often do we overlook the concluding words of Paul in verse 18? "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me, so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I will declare it fearlessly, as I should." The armour is about spiritual defence, but the prayer is the ultimate weapon. How do we pray? Jesus gave us a model prayer. Begins, "Our Father in heaven." That really reinforces that relationship between the Father and his children. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Giving honour to God, the God who created the universe, the God who loves each one of us. That relationship, we're so small, he's so big, so worthy of praise. "Your kingdom come." In our prayer, we're inviting, we want God's kingdom to come now, come to earth. "Your will be done on earth as in heaven." God's rule everywhere. "Give us today our daily bread," asking God to fulfill our needs, our physical needs and our spiritual needs. Each day asking him to guide us and to give us our daily bread. "Forgive us our debts." God is so willing to forgive the things that we do wrong when we turn to him. "As we forgive those who sin against us," as we forgive our debtors. We'll come back to that in a few moments. "Lead us not into temptation," that spiritual battle day by day. God directing us, guiding us as we walk with him. "And deliver us from the evil one." That model prayer, we say it in each of our services, week in, week out. We may pray it at home. That prayer, talking about that relationship with God. Finally, I just want to look at some of the hindrances to prayer, those things that might be barriers to our prayer life. The first one could be our sinfulness. Have we asked God to forgive us? How can we have that relationship that will lead to a life transformed by prayer if we have not confessed the things that we've done wrong? Or perhaps it's a lack of faith or trust. Do we believe that God answers prayer? James, writing to the early church about faith and prayer in his book James 5, writes, "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced the crops." We have to trust and believe that God answers prayer. Perhaps it's an unwillingness to forgive. And that's the one condition Jesus laid down in his Lord's Prayer. That yes, our sins can be forgiven, but we must also forgive others, just as God has forgiven us. Are there people who we're holding grudges against? Are there people who have hurt us and we just haven't forgiven them? We've got to have that forgiving attitude in order for our prayers to be forgiven. Wrong. And as we heard from Rupert earlier, it's about tuning in to God's will. Are we in tune? We've got a bit like a radio. If the radio's not in tune, we're not going to hear the message. Richard Foster in the Celebration of Faith writes, "In prayer, real prayer, we begin to think God's thoughts after him, to desire the things he desires, to love the things he loves, to will the things he wills. And progressively, we are taught to see things from his point of view." We need to be in tune with God's will as we read our Bibles, as we pray, and as we ask God to speak to us and transform us into the people he wants us to be. And perhaps finally, perhaps we talk too much. How often do we bombard God with requests and then move on to the next hymn or the next job? God wants us to listen as well as pray. So we need to take that time to listen to God. And I will say, I will pray my prayers of intercession, and I will then go on to doing something else, and I don't listen. And how can God transform us if we're not listening to him? I think he's Danish, Soren Kierkegaard once wrote, "A man prayed, and at first he thought prayer was talking, but he became more and more quiet, until in the end he realised that prayer was listening." I think we've answered the question, is prayer a waste of time? But if you're still unsure, why not pray earnestly to God for an answer? And one final thought comes from Corrie ten Boom. "Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare wheel? Through our prayer, God wants a living, loving relationship with each one of us. Through our prayer, God wants us to know him as Father. Through our prayers, through his word and by his spirit, God wants to transform our lives to make us his holy people." Let's pray. Father God, teach us to pray. Open up your word to our hearts and minds through the work of your Holy Spirit, and bring us into a closer relationship with you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.